Hello, y'all. Happy lunar eclipse. What up? This is Astral Dim here, laying in my bed, because you know it's my bed in astrology. Happy lunar eclipse. What up? So let's talk about this lunar eclipse. Let's just get started, because I know that's what you guys are waiting for, okay? So this lunar eclipse is going to happen at 8 degrees Gemini in Sag, with the moon being in Gemini and the sun being in Sag, okay? It's happening on the 30th, which could be today, you know, whatever, at 4:28 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, all right? So a lunar eclipse is a fancy full moon, pretty much, okay? The thing that makes it special is that the energies are aligned. So I want to like kind of break this down for you guys, and I know it's like podcast form, so I can't really show you pictures and shit. Maybe I'll do a little TikTok on it or something, I don't know. But like how it is, basically, the eclipse is directly connected to the north node and the south node. The north node represents what sign the sun and the moon are in, while the moon is ascending from the sun, meaning that, like, because that's the thing, like, the sun, like, kind of is moving in itself, but of course, right? But, like, the moon is too, and so when, but the moon is kind of has, like, a wavy type of orbit, and so while the sun is approaching the moon and it's looking like it's moving upward, that's north node. But when the that's the sun approaching the moon, when the moon's approaching the sun and the moon looks upward, it's going upward while it's approaching the sun, that means that's the north node, because it's the ascending node. But when the moon's approaching the sun and it's going downward, that's the descending node, and so that's the south node, okay? So as you can see, we're having an eclipse in the axis of which the north and the south node are in. They're usually very close to each other. There are a couple of rare times where they're different signs, and if they're in different signs, they're still close. It's at the very least, like, you know, I wouldn't even say a semi-sextile is less than a semi-sextile. They're usually very close to each other, even though they're in different signs, usually like within the cusp of a sign or something like that. But regardless, you know, we know about the nodes through the eclipses and what signs they're in, and vice versa. You get what I'm saying? So with this, with lunar eclipses, you know, and I always like to explain it just in case people forget, or just in case, you know, I have new listeners, because I have a whole bunch via TikTok. So hey, TikTok folk, what up? How y'all doing? But the thing about it, though, is that the difference between this full moon and other full moons is that basically, you know, you're not going to be able to see this full moon because of, you know, through the sun and the moon and how they're placed, the earth's shadow is blocking it because they're like directly across from each other, you know, and so that's what's basically happening. We're not gonna fully see the moon at like a particular time, you know what I mean? Usually you can see a lunar eclipse, it's easy to see those, but there's gonna be a particular time in which the moon is it's going to be a shadow casting it, okay? So you know, this is a prenumbral eclipse, and so it's not going to cover the, you know, moon completely, but you know, it, you know, there's still coverage. And because of that, it's the thing is that makes this energy so strong is that like there's a shadow covering it at a short amount of time when it's supposed to be light. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, because like, you know, there's always like shadows doing something towards the moon, you know what I mean? And the sun is always, eventually we can't see the sun because, you know, there's day and night, right? But it's when it's like offbeat and something is different, something is changing, due to a shadow. That's, and you know, that's when it gets a little funky. And so it's kind of like, that's what makes the energy a little bit funny, when we're supposed to be seeing light and we're not, due to a shadow. That's why this energy is energetically, you know, a little wild, a little crazy, okay? But basically, you know, that's what a lunar eclipse is. It always happens during a full moon. It's when we're supposed to see the full bright moon and we're not. Even if it's partial or whatever, you know? So that's what's going on there. But energetically, though, because we're not getting that light, that full light that we're supposed to be getting, you know, I feel like this is a time for us to rest, a time for us to listen to the universe at this moment and chill and relax. I tell people not to use energy within the eclipse unless you are, you know, granted to by spirit. You are an experienced practitioner energetically, and so you know about this stuff. But if you're not about that, you know, root worker, conjurer, witchy, energy worker life, just sit this one out, okay? Don't manifest during this full moon, okay? When I say about that life, I mean like about that life, not you manifesting every now and then when you want something. I'm talking about being about that life, okay? That's just my suggestion. I usually chill out during eclipses, because a bitch be tired, okay? I have my moon, Cancer ruling my sixth house, and so moon phases exhaust me, okay? Exhaust me. That's why some days, sometimes when there's a full or new moon back in the day, I used to be late doing the podcast episodes, because I'm literally exhausted. So, you know, that's just my little take on it, you know. But let's talk about like how this is affecting us astrologically, okay? All right. So again, the full moon is going to be in Gemini, and 8 degrees Gemini, 8 degrees, 38 minutes, which means the sun's going to be there when the moon and the sun are aligning. Okay. Now, what I would say with this energy, although it's probably not best to do, like, you know, some energy work, some conjure work, unless you're really experienced or really called to do it spiritually, I do think it's a time for us to reflect and let go with our spirit and our minds. So instead of, like, literally doing things on a practical note, do it by yourself. Be within yourself and, like, manifest that way, you know, like, manifest within yourself and be clear within yourself before you manifest. Align yourself in the process, okay? And because this energy is in Gemini, you know, some of the things that we have to, you know, learn to actually let go are things that we grew up with, things that are stuck within our minds, and certain thoughts, processes, and mind frames that no longer serve us. You know, that's the things that we need to let go of. Now, it's interesting because I know North Node is in Gemini, so we're being pushed and asked to think for ourselves and push and asked to communicate more clearly. We do need to do that, right? But in order for us to get this new, brand new way of thinking and this new thought process and this new way of communicating, we have to let go of the ones that we currently have, because it no longer serves us. Now, you know, when it comes to this energy, we always have to follow the sun. When it comes to any like full moon, new moon, like, where's the sun? That's where we're supposed to be at. And so I know people are like, but South Node is in Sag, and the sun's in Sag, so we're supposed to go backwards. Let me explain, right? And so although we need to let go of like mind frames, thought processes, and communication styles that no longer serve us, that, you know, which means that we need to actually push towards the sun in Sag with us being a little bit more open-minded to different indoctrinations, religions, beliefs, ideas, and cultures, and south nodes there, what this, you know, eclipse full moon is trying to have us do is be inspired, not fully go in and engulfing ourselves into indoctrinations, but being inspired by them to see if it brings up new ideas and thoughts for us that fits us better. Do you get what I'm saying? And so typically, again, I would say during a Gemini full moon, typically, yes, let go of thoughts and ways that you were raised and things that are connected to you through your community and communication skills, communication ways and stuff that no longer serves you, and go and look at what other people do. Look at, you know, indoctrination, traditions, beliefs, ideas, cultures. Look at how other people live their life and use, kind of go into that, see where that's going. Yes, we need to do that, but we need to not fully indoctrinate ourselves, you know, because South Nodes and Sag, we can't indoctrinate ourselves. That's something from the past. We need to do is we need to fully read up on it, study up on it, and see what is connected to us and see what will better serve us, but not fully indoctrinate yourself into it. I mean, unless you're called to, you know, everyone has a different path and everything. So if you're called to be indoctrinated, baby, go ahead. But, you know, still, I would say you have to really use this with caution because, again, South Nodes and Sag, is this something that we need to actually back away from and start thinking for ourselves? So you're going to be indoctrinated. Be indoctrinated with your mind still in, like, you still having your own mind. Because we all know that with indoctrination, sometimes it's hard for people to think for themselves, right? Because they're relying on someone else's word to tell them how to live. And this is why a lot of times people, and this is no, I'm not dissing anyone's religion, belief, idea, culture, idea, blah, whatever. I'm not doing that. I don't do that. I think that's totally disrespectful. However, like I can say with my Saturn being in Sag and me having to go through my Saturn return, a big part of my lesson is, these are other people's words. What about my connection with God and what I feel God is telling me? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do I have to follow what other people feel that God is telling us when I can figure that out myself? Why can't I figure that out to myself? What makes me not capable? You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I do want you guys to kind of understand that for sure. But, you know, this is just the beginning of it. You know, if you notice this is happening 8 degrees Gemini and Sag, right? So this is like the first decade energy. So this is just the beginning of this energy. But, you know, what we need to actually start doing for real, though, is letting go of things that no longer serve us, that we are stuck on, our own ideas that we were raised upon through our community. Maybe we need to move, too. Shit, like, you know, that, too. And, like, let go of, like, ways that we communicate that it's just harmful to us or to other people and things like that. And we need to, let go of new, like, old mind frames that don't no longer serves us and all that. And then try to see if you can be inspired by things that are foreign and different from you, from different beliefs, ideas, and cultures, and being explorative within that. Another thing that I want to add to that people tend to forget with Gemini and Sag as well is that, like, Geminis I know, at least, they are adventurous, but they have to think things through before they're adventurous. It's just that their thought process is so fast, like their mind power is so fast, that they have thought things through before doing it, you know? They explore within the mind before they take action. But Geminis are explorative. But a lot of times, though, people be like, you know, Geminis always think of these things, but they don't do. They, like, explore within their mind, which is true. But I don't know. Like, I have a lot of Geminis in my life, child. They're usually doing shit. But the thing is, they really do think it through. Like, they just think that fast. Yeah, they're just that smarter than us. Like, let's not front on Geminis. I hate when people try to front on Geminis intelligence. It's really annoying. But with Sag, though, Sag has that fire energy. You know what I mean? And so they will, if they feel it, they kind of run. Like, someone actually just tweeted something. Like, people be fronting on fire's intuition. Fire and water got, like, intense connections to their intuition. It's not that earth and air. It's not intuitive. Some of the most intuitive people I know are earth and air signs, or mostly earth and air signs. It's just that earth and air signs always think, like, before they really be consumed within their intuition. Like, water and, like, fire are consumed within their intuition. And how water is through their emotions. But how fire, it's through their, like, a motivation, and they're like that thing that kind of lights a fire up your butt, and like the anxiety and antsiness of it all. You know what I mean? Like, I have to do it, I have to do it. That motivation, that drive within you. And so, you know, with that Sag energy, the difference between them is that, you know, they'll feel motivated to do something and they just go for it. So they're like way more adventurous than Gemini, because they don't think things through fully. They follow their intuition and it guides them. And this is honestly why Sages are known for being the most lucky sign. It's because they're following their intuition and they're just doing it, you know, like they just go for it. Yeah, it's just, that's what it is. They just go for it. They're like, sure, why not? Bam. And they get into a beautiful opportunity. That's how it fucking works. For real. But anyways, what this is saying too, this eclipse, is kind of like, you know, sometimes learn how to let go of logic. Because, you know, logic is extremely, extremely important. Please, please just know this, because I complain about people's common sense all the time. Logic is super duper important. But the thing is, though, is that sometimes there are things that we don't have the capacity to be able to explain. All right? It's just impossible through us, through it being unknown energy. You know what I mean? That unknown energy that we're not going to know until we die, through it being like us being 3D. So it's just impossible for us to pick up something. Through it being secretive or whatever. It's just so many different ways that it's impossible for us to always use logic all the time. And so the thing is, you know, sometimes we got to let our intuition lead us to the fact that we work like a fire sign and we just go and do, because we are told through our motivation, our drive, to go and do it. You get what I'm saying? So this is also telling us to, you know, at certain times, you need to connect more. I think it's kind of teaching us to not always lean on logic, but to also lean on our passion and our drive and our motivations, so we can get that Sagittarius Jupiter type of luck and success that they get, because that's how they get it. You get what I'm saying? So that's another thing too, you know, logic is very important. I'm not saying not be logical, please guys, don't do that. But I'm saying, like, know when to use logic, know when to use that motivational intuition. You know what I mean? I feel like this is a big lesson within that too. Okay. All right, now let me get over it. All right, so that's what I have for that energy over there. Is there anything else I have to say? Oh, so this is really funny because, like, again, this is first decan energy. And so it's, you know, it's the first decan of Gemini. So it's like double Mercury energy. So we really are working on, like, our thought process, our minds, our mind frame, the way we communicate, and we're like banishing shit that just no longer serves us. We're just upgrading at this point. And then it's the first decan of Sagittarius too, so double Jupiter energy. So this is asking a lot. Okay, it is. It's asking a lot. Like, stop thinking and just do sometimes. This is what it's asking us to do. And, you know, remember, this is like opposite energy. So we have to balance both logic and your motivational intuition. You know what I mean? That fiery intuition. You have to learn how to balance both, because these energies are opposite. But during the full moon, though, usually what's happened, it's kind of like a purge, especially an eclipse. And so where we have to purge a lot of our thought process and mind and mind frames and things like that, and the way we communicate, because in order to create the balance, because we're focusing too much on it. Okay. This is why I actually think that we have eclipses in the way that this eclipse is, where the thing that we have to let go of representing the moon is connected to the North Node, because sometimes we focus so much on the North Node that we're not working that much on the South. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, that's what I have for you guys. Sorry I'm saying all the time. I don't know why I do that. I don't know where I picked that up. I've been doing it all, like, ever since I did this podcast, and I'm trying to stop. I really am. All right, so let's talk about, like, the numerology and shit, right? So this is at 8 degrees, right? So numerology is 8. And 8 is all about change. And transition and transformation and stuff like that, right? So let's kind of work through it throughout the divinations. In astrology, right? 8 is connected again to transformation, intimacy, two energies coming into one and transforming within that, death and rebirth. You know what I mean? Big, huge changes, which makes sense. This is the first, it's not the first eclipse. We had a Gemini eclipse actually in the summer. Sure did. So anyways, this is a huge eclipse regardless. This isn't the first decade. It's a big transformation. Bing, bing, bing. All right. So there's that. And then eight for tarot is connected to kind of like mastery. You get what I'm saying? You know, if we go through the suits, you know, Eight of Wands is kind of like energy coming at you really, really fast after having to defend themselves from the Seven of Wands. You know what I mean? And so they've kind of figured out how the other opponent is working, and they mastered it. And so they're coming at Mother Effa strong. It's kind of like that type of energy, right? And then there's the Eight of Swords. And it's not really mastery, but it's kind of like, in a sense, kind of like, when you allow, eight is kind of like when you allow something to consume you that much, and now it's like a norm. You know what I mean? And you can't, and you're hitting kind of like it's like the eye of the storm, kind of, or the quiet before the storm. There you go, that's a nice one. And so, like, and I say that because with the Eight of Swords represents kind of like self-imposed restrictions, right? And this is all happening before you've been lied to with the Seven of Swords. And then, like, when you move to the Nine of Swords, you're starting to have anxiety attacks because of those self-imposed restrictions, and you're being stuck within that thought, right? And then all of a sudden, what you manifested within those nightmares from the self-restricted thoughts end up coming true with the Ten of Swords. You know what I mean? But with the Eight of Swords, it's kind of like now you, it's a norm now. It's kind of like deeply embedded into you that you are having these self-imposed restrictions, right? So it kind of represents that side of eight too. But then, like, you know, with the Eight of Cups, it's kind of, that energy is kind of telling you, like, yes, it's kind of moving away with, like, regrets, but it's the vibe that I know this is best for me. I know I need to move away because it's what's best for my growth. And you know, it's a lot of self-awareness within that energy, which makes sense too, because even in astrology, eight speaks of like vulnerabilities and stuff like that, and digging deep into your vulnerabilities. And then Eight of Pentacles is the mastery side of eight, you know, figuring out how to work some and like really freak it, you know what I mean, really like get it right and like really just master what you're doing very well, you know. So that's kind of like the eight throughout the tarot. And then I want to read this like little snippet I have from thesecretoftarot.com on 8. I love the conclusion. It's amazing. I'm going to read it off to you, okay? The number 8 is the most material number of all, perhaps because they can easily detach from the material world to bring mental and spiritual goals into fruition. Let me say that part one more time because I really think that was a good one. One more time. The number 8 is the most material number of all, perhaps because they can easily detach from the material world to bring mental or spiritual goals into fruition. Come on, man. Come on. All right, let me continue. For those with the number 8 prominent in their numerology charts, assertion and common goal are popular themes. These people should use their assertion to help them in reaching their material goals so they can fulfill their destinies to create something for a greater good. All right, so, you know, that's kind of like a little snippet of 8. Should I read another part too? Let me read this other part too. The number 8 usually indicates someone who is assertive, determined, and responsible. This number brings skill with finances and business, though it is consistently misunderstood as the number of money and power. Number 8 could be used to improve these business skills, but people should make sure to balance the 8 with numbers that will help in maintaining their discipline and keeping in touch with their humanity. So it's an important balance, and I think that balance that's so important is the whole fact that, you know, if you want that material thing, detach from it and work on your mental and spiritual mind frame. Kind of similar to what I was saying before, you know, set yourself up and let go of things that no longer serve you in order for you to be able to get this new way of being so you can get the things that you want materially. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I got from that. Let me know what y'all thoughts on it. It'd be interesting to see y'all thoughts on it, okay? Alright, so I'm gonna end this off with you know, talking about the aspects or whatever. There's 3 that I wanna talk about. They're technically 6. Technically 6, but 3. Okay, and the reason I say technically 6 is because, like, for instance, if something's aspecting the moon during the eclipse, is aspecting the sun as well. So that's, I'm talking about 1 aspect, but 2. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, anyways, let me just talk. All right. So the aspects to this eclipse, it's actually quite interesting. I actually want to talk about this first aspect, this square to the eclipse first. This eclipse is going to be squaring Neptune, okay? And I'm actually seeing how this is being applied already. It's so crazy. Oh my god. Okay, with this eclipse squaring the Neptune, this is why, especially with this lunar eclipse, guys, please don't be trying to do no manifestation and spiritual work if you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Okay, with Neptune energy, especially in Pisces, you know, this is the energy of intuition and spirituality and the unknown and things that we can't really see, and it's deeply connected to being disillusioned as well. You know, it's deeply connected to being delusional as well. It's deeply connected to the spiritual world as well, in the sense of, like, you possibly being deluded into thinking some entity or energy is good when it's bad. You know what I mean? This is a perfect example of you of being disillusioned. You know what I mean? You're thinking you're seeing shit, but you ain't. Because of this energy is squaring, Neptune is squaring both the sun and the moon is squaring the eclipse, and so there's like a disconnect here. I'm seeing, even through the timelines on social media, people being extremely deluded, all right? And so I want you guys to just be careful overall and to try to think things through, okay? Now, with Neptune squaring the moon, you know, it may seem like your mind and your thoughts and even how you're communicating or how people are communicating with you, there's a disconnect here. And it's because you're sensing something's off, but it could be that you're not quite clear what's off, and so you're blaming other things, or you're not quite sure, and so you're like reacting in a weird way. You get what I'm saying? And it's all like, even though, you know, the moon's in Gemini, so you're thinking things through, these thoughts are all based on how you are feeling, both personally and what you're picking up empathically. You understand what I'm saying? Because there is some confusion between the two, it may lead to you reacting emotionally to things, and it's not like the best reaction to have. You understand what I'm saying? And so I definitely see that happening there. You thinking you're being logical, but that logic is based off of like emotions that are possibly led by delusion. So be careful, please. Okay? That's what I'm asking for you to do. Now, this is crazy because, you know, Neptune is also squaring the sun. The sun wants us to, like, be a little bit more adventurous. But you also got to be careful because that adventurous energy may be led by delusion as well, okay? Led by an entity taking advantage and trying to make you make horrible decisions and shit. I'm so sorry about that. And so you're like taking a risk, but it's like you're, one of the risks is like jumping off a cliff. Like, come on, dude. You know, I just want you guys to be very, very careful. Look after people who are easily fooled, naive. You know, your people who are easily fooled, naive, a little confused. Be careful for yourself as well. Because this energy, again, this is just an eclipse energy, and it's an applying square, okay? So the energy is going to get just stronger and stronger as the time goes by. So I want you guys to be very careful, please, okay? But this is just like screams like us being deluded and taking action and us being fooled on an emotional level and reacting off of it. And it's just in trickster energy. What I definitely suggest you guys to do is cleanse the areas around you, so you can make the most, you know, and then you can if you're picking up things intuitively, you're picking up from positive and highly benevolent energy, all right? Not trickster energy. This screams trickster shit. You know what I mean? This eclipse screams trickster energy ass shit. Alright? So burn some rosemary. You know, Palo Santo's my shit. But you know, you have to use that sparingly, because, you know, people are overusing it. But like, burn some rosemary, sandalwood, you know, frankincense and myrrh, since it's like, you know, holiday time. Shout out to Yeshua. That's what I suggest, but let me continue. There's some good aspects happening here too, okay? Some good ones. The moon is sextile Mars, while the sun is trine Mars, which is really cool. And so this speaks of us actually being emotionally motivated to make some changes within our life and to do things, and we're thinking it through and trying to figure out it's right. But what I like about this, and what I hope is how this works out with you guys, with Mars trining the sun in fire signs, by the way, right? That adventurous energy that I was talking about before, you just jumping into something and seeing how it works. That's the energy that we're going to naturally get due, you know? Mars represents motivation and drive and taking action. Sun represents the hyper-focused energy and our conscious actions. And both of these are fire signs, signs that are just willing to jump and try it out, especially with that Sag energy. And so what the dope thing about it is, we are in this vibe of just going after something and trying out and jumping at it, right? And then with Mars also sextiling the moon, we're also especially with the moon in Gemini, we're intellectually and emotionally picking up, oh, that worked because of this. We're learning in the process of us taking risk. Do you get what I'm saying? That's so fucking dope. But again, be careful with that Neptune square, because you might be taking risk on the wrong things. And so clear, before, I'll say this, before you jump and take a risk, right, keep that energy, cleanse yourself. All right, burn that rosemary, burn all that, all that positive, you know, burn all those cleansing energies. Well, actually, what I honestly suggest you guys start doing right the fuck now is, you know, start cleansing your area and create a spiritual hygienic space for yourself. So when you are naturally inspired, it's coming from a highly benevolent and positive place instead of some trickster ass energy. Okay, because this could easily turn to you some negative entity trying to trick you, trying to fuck with you. You jumping and taking a risk, and that learning lesson that you have to learn is a tough, mean one that fucked your shit up. Okay, so this is why I want you guys to start creating a, if you haven't already, a routine, a spiritually hygienic routine, and especially during the eclipse season, start doing it now. Stop burning those positive smoke energies now and clearing shit out and saying it with intention. Okay, shit, after this I'm gonna start doing it, really, literally, like right after I'm gonna start burning my rosemary. All right, anyways, that's what I suggest. And then lastly, the moon is trine Saturn and the sun is sextile Saturn, right? So you know, this is a separating aspect, right? While, you know, it was applying for Neptune, is separating in this case. And with this energy is really interesting, because it seems like from the past, you know, we've held some restrictions within ourselves to make sure that we are making proper decisions for us in the most practical and logical way, you know, with Saturn being in Capricorn and the moon being in Gemini. But the beautiful thing about it is it's giving us like emotional discipline. And but the thing is, though, is with that emotional discipline and responsibility, there are some things that are great within it, but there are some like responsibilities and discipline that we actually don't need to uphold anymore, and that we need to let go and possibly delegate and give to somebody else, or maybe it just doesn't fit us anymore, right? And so what worked in the past is not necessarily working right now, but we are kind of, because this energy is trying, we're working this energy like on some automatic shit, you know what I mean? And then, you know, with it being the moon too, even though we are logically thinking with the moon in Gemini, like, no, this is what's logical, this is what makes sense, this is what we got to do, and it's practical, and it's going to give me to this position that I want to be in life, we are emotionally connected to it. It's, yeah, it's Gemini, but it's the moon in Gemini, right? So we low-key have this emotional connection to this logic or practicality that we have set ourselves up with, and now we're running on like autopilot with it, with the energy being trine. You get what I'm saying? But what's beautiful about it is with the sun, you know, sextile Saturn, we are understanding too, and I think we've had an earlier understanding about it, it's just being more prominent now because, you know, it's a separating aspect. We are understanding that we need to shake shit up, shake the room, Pop Smoke, RIP, you know what I'm saying? So we're learning that we need to shake shit up with responsibility. You know what I mean? Shake shit up with discipline. Realizing that we need to like take a risk, and taking risks sometimes is the most responsible thing to do to wake things up. So to get us into that authoritative position in which we want to be in, you know what I mean? So that's another thing I wanted to add there too. All right. Okay. So, this next energies I'm going to talk about is not with y'all. Sorry. But what I'm going to do is later on this week, I'm going to meet up with my, Cosmic Gang. If you are interested in joining the Cosmic Gang, you can go to astrodim.space. And, when you go to astrodim.space, it's going to be a spot that mentions you know, membership plans and pricing. That's how you can join us on lives every Friday. You know, I talked about the eclipse a little bit last Friday, but I'm going to talk about it, you know, this upcoming Friday, just because I like people to sit within the energies, you know what I'm saying? And then we can talk about it and they can see the connections to it. And the thing is about eclipses too, it's like, it's okay if you're a little bit late talking about the eclipses, because honestly, yes, the energy is most heightened during the eclipse, but that should last 6 months, just like any other full moon, you know? So don't worry, it'll be all right. It lasts 6 months. It's just a prominent 6 months. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of this theme that I was talking about before, you're going to be noticing that up until like, you know, May, June, if you've been feeling that energy, you know? And you're going to realize like, yeah, I did let go of that. Let go of like, oh, my brains and stuff during those 6 months. Dang that bitch. You know? And wow, I'm thinking of new ones. Motherfucker. And yes, I was inspired by different philosophy, beliefs, ideas, and cultures. That's how it's going to be, right? So, anyways, feel free to join. You know, there's different levels of to join or whatever. The free one, though, for the membership plans and pricings, that's, you're not going to be in my live with that, right? You'll be in my live when you start paying. Okay, well, you start paying, that's when you get to have my time, baby. But with the free memberships, it allows you to be able to comment on my blog, comment on you know, any other shit and all that jazz. I'm thinking about adding my podcast episodes to my blog so y'all can comment on it. Is it? Maybe I'll add the link. Because I have my podcast on my website too. I add the link to it there. And then y'all can comment on it and all that shit. I think that'd be cute. Anyways, yeah, I might start it off today. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Anyways, alright, y'all. So thanks for listening and joining or whatever. Let me know if you have any questions. If you have a comment, go to AstroDemNutSpace, check out the latest blog post, and you'll be able to make that comment. Okay? But anyways, Cosmic Gang, we're going to talk about possible aspect patterns, if there are any. We're going to talk about the fixed stars that are connecting to this. Let me talk about, like, one of the fixed stars, okay. One of the fixed stars that's connected to this eclipse is Aldebaran to the moon, and the other one is Antares, which is, or Antares. Is it Antares? Yes, it's Antares, sorry. Which is connected to the sun. Very closely conjunct to the sun. We're definitely going to talk about that. Because Aldebaran and Antares are very important fixed stars in the sky. Alright, so we're definitely going to talk about that. But there's other fixed stars that are conjunct that too. And then with you guys, I'm going to go over the houses and how the eclipse is going to personally affect you. Okay? Alright, so... Hehehe